James chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. James writes, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Well, thanks for coming. I think we're done here. Okay, so let me start this off with this. Friday morning, I got the dreaded text message from Leon saying, "I'm sick and you may have to speak on Sunday." Saturday, it was confirmed. Now, after I got the message from Leon, about after that, my truck broke down and had to get it towed. Saturday, I had a previous commitment that kept me away most of the day and didn't get back to 10:30 last night. This morning, I was up at 5. I was driving on the road at 5 o'clock this morning, bringing Linda to the airport. So I'm just saying that so that you realize. Let's keep the expectations low here. All right. The other thing I need to say is that you can give me whatever title you want, but I'm a youth pastor at heart, and so whatever I say this morning, I've heard from somebody else. There's no original thoughts coming through here. You know, we talk a lot. Even us quiet ones talk quite a bit. You know, one study has said that the average man speaks 7,000 words a day, and that the average woman speaks 20,000 words a day. Now, I have seen another study that says that men speak just under 16,000 words a day and women just over 16,000, so it might be a little bit closer than some think. But you could pick the study that you want to go with, but all of us, even those of us who fall short of that average, we all speak a lot. And because I don't want to mess up that average, and because it says in Proverbs, a truly wise person uses few words, I'm going to try to keep this really brief for you this morning. But we speak a lot, and because we speak a lot, we find ourselves getting into trouble. We have all found ourselves, whether we are above the average or below the average, wishing that we can take back something that we have said. I remember years ago, I worked for Youth for Christ, and I worked in their branch in the inner city in Miami, Florida. And so I was responsible for some 7th to 9th graders, and so I would pick them up in their neighborhood, and I would bring them to our center where we had equipment and games for them to play, and then I would do a Bible study with them. And one of the boys in the group, his name was Oat, but everyone always called him Dirty Oat. You know, they just always called him that. He never thought much of, he never said anything. He just always responded to it. But I always called him Oat. Then one day as I picked him up, you know, I picked him up in the van, and he hops in the van. I said, "Hey, Dirty Oat, how you doing?" And all of a sudden, he says, "Dave, why did you call me that? Why did you call me that? Dave, don't ever call me that." And man, my heart was broken, you know. And I apologized to him, but it was just wish I could take that back. But it's kind of like a tube of toothpaste. You know, it comes out easy. But to try to get that toothpaste back in the tube, it's a little bit more difficult. You really can't do it. And that's kind of how it is with our words. They come out really easy, but we can't get them back. And so we have to be careful with our words because our words matter. And we all have found ourselves, again, saying something that we wish we could take back. We've all found ourselves or have heard, whether it came from our mouths or someone else's mouths, words that have hurt either us or somebody else. But we also have heard people say words, and hopefully we have said words that have been helpful to others as well and built them up. Because both can come out of our mouths, and we want to choose our words wisely. In Proverbs, it says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. In Proverbs also, it says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And so our words matter. And because our words matter and because our words can either be cutting or they can be healing, I want us to talk a little bit about what the Bible has to say concerning our words. And we see in this passage from James that our words are powerful. He uses this illustration of the bits in the horse's mouth. He says in verse 3 and 4, he says, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by a strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. You know, a bit, a rudder, they're both small, and yet they have great power. You know, some of the largest horses could weigh like 2,000 pounds. And with a small piece of metal, you know, called a bit stuck in the horse's mouth attached to the rein, a rider can control the horse's every move. And compared to the overall size of a ship, a rudder is pretty small. Yet the rudder has such power to steer the ship and change the very direction that the ship is going. And though our words may be small or may be few, they also have great power. But we see this whole power of our words, not only in the comparison of the bit in the horse's mouth and in the rudder of a ship, but also in a small spark setting a forest on fire and causing such destruction. In verses 5 and 6, James writes, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. You know, we have heard and seen pictures of the destruction of fires. And the recent fires, you know, in California, you know, the campfire fires of California started small, but the devastation has been tremendous. And even around here, you know, so many of us, we have seen homes that have caught on fire and been destroyed. And so we just see the destructive nature of our words. James not only talks about the destruction of our words and being like fire, but he also says it's like deadly poison. He says in verses 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. He says it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, we're careful around poison. You know, we're guarded against poison. Even poison ivy, you know, I try to stay away from poison ivy. When I would take people golfing at Roseland, I say, if it goes in the woods, we're not going after it. You know, it's not worth it. You know, so we had this last camp out, and we're at Roseland Park working on the Little League fields, and I didn't think there'd be any poison ivy there. So evidently I wasn't paying attention, but I ended up being pretty covered with poison ivy. But for most part, I do everything I can, always washing my hands, always doing everything to keep that poison away. And when we have anything that's poisonous in our house, you know, we keep it sealed tight and we keep it away from our children. And we're very alert to the whole situation. We have the number for poison control on our refrigerator or in our phones. And we're alert when fire is involved. We're alert when poison is involved. And we need to be alert. We need to pay attention to our words, because our words can bring healing, but they can also bring destruction. Our words can be hurtful, and they can do a lot of damage. Job, when he was going through his suffering and his friends came to comfort him, he says, "How long will you torment me and crush me with your words?" And words can crush. Our words can hurt and destroy. And so we must be careful with our words. Francis Chan makes this statement. He says, "Your tongue can be that little spark that can destroy so much. Where one careless sentence can destroy a relationship, can ruin someone else's life, can lead someone else into depression or into a spiral." We all know how destructive our words can be, how hurtful they can be, so we must be alert. This past fall, we did at the movie series with our young people, and one of the movies that we looked at was the movie Wonder. And Wonder is about a 10-year-old boy named Augie Poolman. And Augie has this rare medical facial deformity. And due to 27 surgeries, Augie has been homeschooled by his mother. But as he's approaching the fifth grade, his mom and dad decide to enroll him in Beecher Prep, a mainstream private school. And every day when Augie walked through the doors of his school, he knew that it was going to be another day of eating lunch all by himself. He had to face kids who didn't want to touch him, who would just say nasty things about him. He had to deal with a bully who took every opportunity to pick on him and make him feel small so that he could feel big. He did have one friend, Jack Will. But now the only real friend that he had, or they thought he had betrayed him. And they're at this Halloween gathering at their school. And so Augie's wearing this mask. And so he overhears his friend Jack make some comments about him.
"If I looked like him, I'd swear I'd put a hood over my face."
"If I look like him, I think I'd kill myself."
"Why do you hang out with him so much, Jack?"
"Yeah, I don't know. Tushman asked me to be his welcome buddy, and now he just follows me around everywhere."
"Well, that was stink. That was..."
"Nate, do you know where his helmet is? He's asking for it, and I've looked everywhere." "I don't know. Something at school he won't say. He won't come out of his room. And now he says he doesn't even want to go trick-or-treating." "I know. Okay. Thank you. Just get here."
"Come on, get ready.
It's almost time for the Halloween parade."
"You're supposed to knock." "Go away!"
"Mom says you won't say what happened. Did someone say something?"
"Someone always says something!"
"Well, tell me what happened."
"It's none of your business."
"You took my day with Mom, so it is my business."
"I heard Jack Wolf talking about me behind my back. He said he'd kill himself if he looked like me."
"Jack Will? Isn't he the nice one?"
"There are no nice ones! I wish I'd never gone to school in the first place."
"But you were liking school. I know you were."
"I hate it, okay? I hate it!"
"Augie, I'm sorry, but you're not the only one who has bad days."
"Bad days? Do people avoid touching you? When a person accidentally touches you, do they call it the plague?"
"No."
"Jack Will is all I had. Just don't compare your bad days at school to mine, okay?"
"Okay." "Hey, did you notice that Miranda doesn't come around anymore?"
"What?
You didn't. Shocker. Yeah, she went away to camp this summer, and now she doesn't like me anymore.
Why?
Because school sucks, and people change. So if you want to be a normal kid, Augie, then those are the rules. So let's go trick-or-treating, okay? Because right now, we're each other's best friends.
Really?
Yes. So, come on. I'll let you have all my Halloween candy.
I'll trade you my apples.
Okay, no. I know that I said that you could have all my candy, but I was really just saying that to get you out of the house.
What about the chocolate?
No.
And the Smarties, the gummies, the licorice, the Reese's, the Hershey's, and everything else.
All right, I'll let you have all my candy.
You know, when Augie heard those words that Jack Will said, it was as if someone had punched him in the stomach and the air had been knocked out of him. You know, that famous statement that we all learned when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, just isn't true. Names hurt. You know, bones will heal, but words, hurtful words, can leave a scar that lasts a lifetime. I mean, I still remember kids teasing me for all my freckles. You know, I used to have freckles. You probably wonder where they all went, but I used to have them. And they would tease me all the time. So even now, like if I go, with a group of young people to the beach or to a music park and we're at a pool, or if I'm just out at a pool or something or at the beach, and I go to take off my shirt, and I realize I'm at the age now where no one wants to see an old man with a shirt off. But the first thing I think of is what they're going to say about my freckles. You know, what are they thinking about my freckles? I mean, it still has stayed with me. You know, even when we're older, you know, and the words that are said to us, you know, they still can kind of stick with us and make us think and be hurtful. You know, most of you know I go to Subway quite a bit, you know, for their chocolate chip cookies. And so I'm there, and so I get a little rapport with the workers there. So there was this one woman that was there, had been there a while, and so we would know each other and would talk some. And so one day when I'm there, I went and I was getting my money. I had my wallet open, and so there's a picture of Linda in there. And she goes, "Is that your wife?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "How did you get her?" and then she's like, "Oh, I'm just kidding." No way she was kidding. You know, and I'm still surprised by it, so I'm not surprised others are. But even those words, you know, you get these jabs, you know, like, what's going on here, you know? But we all know how hard it is when people say mean, hurtful things about us. And part of the problem is that when we hear those words over and over, or if you hear them just a couple times or even once, we begin to play those words over and over again in our mind. And after a while, we start believing them, even when they're not true. You know, we start believing those messages that maybe some of us have heard where you're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not strong enough. And all of a sudden, we start believing those things. But what you and I, what we need to remember, what you need to remember is that the truest thing about you is what God says about you. Not what someone said to you in the first grade or second grade or fifth grade or last week or at Subway. It's what God says about you. And God says that you're chosen. And God says that you're loved and that you're his treasured possession and that you are accepted just the way that you are. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his very image. And so if there's any word that is going to stick on you, let it be God's word that sticks on you. Let it be what God has to say about you. You know, Augie, hearing Jack say those words really hurt him and left him where he just wanted to be alone. But his sister, Via, wouldn't let him. And she chose to speak words of encouragement to him. Some of the words were pretty tough. The Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. But she spoke. She went to speak words of truth. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Eugene Peterson, puts it this way. He says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We must choose our words wisely because our words are powerful. Our words matter. Our words are able to build up and bring life and give hope to someone who's feeling hopeless and alone, or our words can bring down and bring death. So we must choose our words wisely because our words matter. You know, it says in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The writer of Hebrews says that we're to encourage one another daily. Paul writes, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. And that's what our words can do. Our words can build other people up. And we are to look for ways to encourage one another. We're to give support to one another. We're to have our words that give hope, that give courage. Because every day we spend so much courage every day when we are facing everyday battles of life, whether it's things at work or at school or within the family. And there are people all around us that are running low or even out of courage. And our words can give hope to someone who is feeling alone and who's feeling hopeless. Our words can bring life and it can bring confidence into somebody who is ready to give up. And our words of apology have the power to heal a broken relationship. Some of the most powerful words ever spoken are, I'm sorry. You know, when Jack Will finally realizes what he had done and how much he had hurt Augie, he takes the initiative to fix that broken relationship. Who is it that maybe you need to seek forgiveness from? Who is it that maybe you need to grant forgiveness and say, okay, I forgive you? God values our relationships with one another. And we all do things wrong. We all make mistakes. We all end up hurting each other from time to time, often by accident. And God wants us to be people that are willing to forgive. He wants us to be people that are humble enough to go to one another and say, I'm sorry. Our words matter. Our words have the potential to destroy, but they also have the potential to build up. The Apostle Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our words can be helpful and they're to benefit those who listen. The psalmist says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. And words matter, so may you speak words that build up, that benefit those who listen. May your words be like that tree of life that bring healing to other people. But our words matter also because our words can also kind of be like a measuring stick of where we're at in our relationship with Christ. You know, James writes here at the end, he says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters, it should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives and grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." And James says, you know, there shouldn't be this inconsistency coming out of our mouths. For the Christian who has been changed by God should not have such inconsistency in their speech. And so it's a way for us to say, you know, what's coming out of my mouths? And because what comes out of our mouths is kind of what's in our heart. You know, one time when Jesus was being criticized for his disciples eating food with unwashed hands, you know, he makes this statement to them. He says, "Listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." And then he goes and he explains it to his disciples. He says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the mouth come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." On another occasion, Jesus makes this statement, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Our words show our heart. And so I want to challenge you, as our words matter, that you use your words to build up and not destroy. And that you look and consider the words that are coming out of your mouths. And are your words again, that are building up, are your words, again, how is that reflecting on where your heart is with God and where you are with Him? We must pay attention to our words because our words are powerful. They can bring healing, but they can also bring destruction. And our words can be that spiritual measuring stick that we need. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you for the truths that we find in your word. And Father, we are people that like to talk. And we say a lot of things. And sometimes we speak before we even think. And often we find ourselves saying things we wished we hadn't said. So, Father, I pray that we would be a group of people that are forgiving when we say some of these things that we wish we could take back. And, Father, I ask that you'll help us to be people that pay attention to our words, because our words are powerful. I pray that you'll help us to realize that our words are powerful to bring healing, to bring help, to bring courage to one another. So I ask that as we go out this week, that you would help each one of us to speak words of life into people's lives, that our words would bring hope and be of benefit and help to one another. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.